This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Europe is emerging as an arena in the struggle to define Islam. With large and growing Muslim populations, France, Germany, Britain, Italy, and the Netherlands have been caught up in the debate. Today we begin a series of reports from those countries, and we start in the Netherlands, where the murder of a filmmaker this month revealed deep mistrust between Muslims and traditional Dutch society. NPR's Sylvia Pajoli reports from Amsterdam.
Hours after filmmaker Theo van Gogh was killed, thousands of people gathered to mourn and protest. The murder has traumatized a society that long prided itself on its liberalism, raising questions about the limits of tolerance. And it's widened misunderstandings between ethnic Dutch and Muslims over cultural values and social norms. In the last 2 weeks, nearly a dozen mosques and churches have been attacked in a wave of religiously motivated reprisals. Van Gogh was repeatedly shot and stabbed by Mohamed Bouyeri, a 26-year-old Dutch Moroccan who slit his victim's throat and left a note stabbed into the body, warning that enemies of Islam should fear for their lives. The filmmaker was an outspoken critic of Islam who offended many Muslims, including this Dutch-Turkish taxi driver who declined to give his name.
He was too extreme. I think he talked too bad about the Muslim, and every time about the Muslim, you know? So I think it was a good reason to kill him.
The sidewalk where Van Gogh was killed has been turned into a shrine. Long lines of people file quietly by piles of flowers, candles, and teddy bears. Signs of polarization between ethnic Dutch and Muslims are evident in the tone of some of the anonymous messages left at the site. Warnings that Europe has been invaded by Islam, that Christians and Jews will soon lose their freedom. Van Gogh's murder was triggered by his film Submission, which denounces the abuse of women in Muslim societies.
Oh Allah, Most High, you say that men are the protectors and maintainers of women because you have given the one more strength than the other. I feel at least once a week the strength of my husband's fist on my face.
The film opens with a woman wearing long black robes that are transparent. Her naked body is covered with tattooed verses of the Quran. As she prays, she narrates the stories of abuse and violence against four Muslim women. The film was written by Ayan Hirsi Ali, a Somali-born member of parliament who has abandoned her Muslim faith. She's now in hiding. Death threats against her and other politicians were contained in the note left on Van Gogh's body. Death threats have also been circulating on the internet. It takes only a few minutes surfing on the web to download this video. It features photos of a right-wing Dutch politician with a Dutch text and voiceover calling for his beheading. The video is one sign of how some second and third generation Dutch Muslims are channeling Islam.
The Islam of the youngsters is garbage. Islam.
Hacı Karaçer is spiritual leader of Turkish Muslims in the Netherlands. He says traditional mosques no longer shape the message of Islam.
Islam of the young people is grabbed by internet, by satellites, by extremist imams, by... You name it, I mean, it's a very fragmented Islam, very strange Islam, and add there also dissatisfaction, discrimination, and you get a mixture which is very explosive.
Van Gogh's murderer is in jail facing numerous charges, including terrorism. Dutch officials suspect he may have been part of a large Dutch-based network of Islamic jihadis. The path that led to Mohamed Bouyeri's radicalization started in the neighborhood where he grew up. It's known as Satellite City for the many dishes that bring the voices, news, and rhetoric of Arab TV networks into the housing projects. Until he was 24, Mohamed Bouyeri was a model community worker, organizing sports matches, discussion groups, and a local paper. But a few years ago, he grew a beard, started wearing a Moroccan jalaba, and stopped coming to the community center because alcohol was served at receptions and men and women were in the same room. Social worker Ahmed Afkerin worked with Bouyeri in the neighborhood, and he's shocked by what he did. But Ahmed acknowledges there's growing fear, mistrust, and alienation among Muslims from the broader Dutch society.
People from the Muslim community, they say that they feel like getting pushed into a corner because often they feel like a victim. I mean, if there happens something, it's the Muslims who did it. They feel like they're getting the blame of everything that goes negative.
Inter-ethnic relations began souring in the aftershocks of 9/11. There was the realization that 30 years of official policies promoting multiculturalism had actually produced a Muslim underclass, half of which doesn't speak Dutch and which is detached from mainstream society and culture. The government has cut back on generous welfare programs that encouraged immigrants to maintain strong links with their homelands. It introduced mandatory Dutch language courses for new immigrants, and it wants to curb the custom of forced marriages by restricting the influx of prearranged spouses. Integration has replaced multiculturalism as the new buzzword. The port city of Rotterdam is the front line of the new policies. With a population one-third Muslim, the city council has limited access to low-cost public housing for new immigrants, and projects are being torn down in a controversial attempt at inner-city gentrification. 26-year-old architecture student Mamdou Baridi was born here of Moroccan immigrant parents. He's bitter about the country's right-wing shift and a mainstream society, he says, never fully embraced its citizens of non-European origin, depriving people like him of a sense of national and cultural identity.
But there's one thing that you can be sure about, that's your religion. Nobody can take that away from you. People can say, well, can have doubt about your identity, know you're Dutch because you were born in Holland, know you're Moroccan because your parents are Moroccan. What is it, you know? But religion, nobody can take that away from you. So that's like the main part of your identity.
Mamdou, like so many others, has been rediscovering Islam. But 31-year-old Huda Rais took a different path. Her life started getting too difficult when her mother, who used to wear miniskirts in the 70s, embraced religion, put on a headscarf, and started watching only Arab TV networks. Huda took the daring decision to leave home and break ties with her family. She says until then, she had only Turkish and Moroccan friends because she didn't have to explain who she was.
It's very easy to stay in the same thinking system, because then you won't be confronted with things, and you avoid a lot of problems by doing that. But I think that's the easy way out, probably. You know, whenever you have a problem, you turn to the Quran and you find an answer for that, and you just neglect the world outside, which is also there. So you don't really make a choice between the Quran and the outside world, because you never consider the outside world. It's not there.
Rotterdam's Middellandse neighborhood is dotted with ethnic grocery shops, bakeries, and halal butchers. The Mediterranee West is a colorful fish market. Arabic music pours from the radio. It's after sunset, and the employees take time out to break the Ramadan fast with traditional vegetable soup, sardines, and Moroccan mint tea. But owner Mohamed Alabasi, speaking in a mix of Dutch and Arabic, is angry and worried.
I see more and more young men here growing long beards, but I have not changed. The problems here came from the Middle East, but you can't solve them with war. And look at all those Muslims and Arabs suppressed in their own countries. And here in the Netherlands, the Dutch have no experience with these problems, and they don't know how to handle them.
Mohammed says, I'm afraid it's only going to get worse. His concerns shed light on the ripple effect conflict in the Islamic world has here in Europe and its potentially devastating implications. Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News, Amsterdam.
You can see photos from Sylvia Poggioli's reporting for this story at npr.org. And next week, Sylvia reports on the lives of Muslims in Germany.